Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 46, the first full paragraph, which begins, "Yes, we are of agnostic temperament." Today's readers are Bernie W. on the 12 Steps, Kathleen O. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Mary H. and Kathleen O. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, August 6, 10 a.m. meeting was 13,242 or 13242. And this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. reference number is 13,244 or 13244. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and announcements will be offered by Leslie W. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Bernie W. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, I'm Bernie W., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. One, we admitted we were powerless over our food and that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and for the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Bernie W. And Kathleen, would you please read our 12 Traditions of OA?
Yes, good morning. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 46, the first full paragraph, which begins, "Yes, we of agnostic temperament." And I will ask Mary H. to get us started. Thank you.
Hi, this is Mary H., recovered in Wisconsin. Can you hear me?
I can, Mary. Thank you.
Okay, great. Yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. Wow, this paragraph, to me, I think is probably just the crux of step 2. You guys are here telling me with love that I am not alone, that you all have had an agnostic temperament as well. You're here to reassure me. And as I worked the steps last year, it was suggested to me to utilize a prayer called the set-aside prayer. And it's really based in the language that's found right here in this paragraph. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power. Okay, so here's how the set-aside prayer goes. It goes, God, please help me to set aside everything that I think that I know. And then I can fill in the blank about what that might be for today, if I'm bringing my needs for today, so that I can have an open mind and a new experience. I don't think I have to completely map it out for you to hear how that comes out of these. And it has been so helpful to me. And I'll tell you, it wasn't just helpful for me when I was initially taking step two, but it is helpful for me every time that I run into my agnostic temperament, because every day is a day when I see my agnostic temperament come through. You know, the words that it talks about in these previous paragraphs: doubt, prejudice, violently anti-religious, getting tethered to these old ideas about God that didn't work, rejecting conceptions of God because they're inadequate, just having a hard time with this dependence on a power greater than myself. And I can utilize these ideas of laying aside my prejudices, asking God to come in and to help me, even though I don't know what that's going to look like. But that's the point, is that I don't know, which means that God really is infinite instead of just what my small mind can make of God. It's just been a huge gift of my recovery to be able to see that what I thought about God before, and I'll wrap up, what I thought about God before was what my small mind was making of God, not what a higher power really was and could be for me, which has removed my problem. And I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mary H. Okay, so now I would like to take names of people who would like to share.
Kelly
M.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything.
Janice P.M.
Okay, Janice P.M.
Julia.
Irene B.
Eileen B.
Kathleen O.
Say it again.
Kelly
S.
John K.
John K.
Reggie O.
Julie
E. B. And Kathleen O. And we'll stop there. Okay, here's who I got: Janice P.M., Eileen B., Kelly S., John K., Reggie O., Julie E.B., and Kathleen O., and I will take other names later. Please get us started, Janice.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy K., and all of you that are here. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Yes, I'm going to kind of piggyback on what was said prior. This is only step two. When you're going through this process, what it's telling me is this. First of all, in the paragraph before, they use that word askance. I didn't know what that meant, but that was me. I disapproved of the idea that was given to me that I took on as my mother, as my grandmother's God, a higher power. I was a little skeptical, you know, about it, because I didn't trust that higher power, because things weren't going my way. Well, as it says here, now we're in step two. It's telling me, as it told me, and it still tells me, even on a daily basis, that, you know, you don't have to believe that a higher power is going to fix your problem right now in this step, but have the willingness to believe that others believe, and how they came about that. That's laying aside prejudice on this spirituality question. Lay aside. If you want it, you can pick it up again. But lay it aside. So that takes willingness. And in the second thing is to get a power. some power. It doesn't say, you know, the power of the food plan, the power of your sponsor. It says a power with the capital P greater than myself. Now, I have learned, because sponsors have told me, they cannot give me willingness. It's got to come from you, from being desperate, and you can't, and I can't give you a power greater than yourself. Those are the two things I cannot guide you on. But I can assure you that you will get that higher power through the implementing of these steps. So, but it also tells me, and I can tell them, you don't have to understand this power. I mean, if you understood them, then you don't have to, then you would be that power, you know. Certainly, I don't understand them. And I don't have to, define, tell me exactly what that higher power is. I don't have to, I just have to be willing to believe that it's going to happen when I, this is what happened to me, when I implemented these 12 steps. That's the spiritual prejudice that I have to lay aside as soon as I could, because now it's going to grow. The spirituality is going to grow each day. And what the hard part is, when we are recovered, we still have to do that every day, because if circumstances came in my life about the death and about the drug use and all that stuff with the family, I have to trust. I have to try to be willing to believe that, yes, because of my experience, this power is going to come through for me.
Time.
And I am finished. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Janice PM. Eileen B., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, great. I am Irene B., happily and gratefully recovered from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just want to share that I needed a power greater than myself to accomplish my goals, which was to overcome my eating disorder. And in and out of treatment programs, in the first treatment program I went into, they told me that the eating disorder was not the problem, but rather a symptom of the problem. That was revolutionary to me because I had no idea. And as I went through the treatment plan, I realized that my biggest problem is in my head, because I had so many cognitive distortions that my life was utterly miserable. So I went on this mission to overcome my cognitive distortions, and I say that on my own because I was not connected to the power. I thought that my intellect was going to carry me through and help me overcome this thing. So I listened to affirmation tapes, and I delved into the study of cognitive distortions to change my thinking so that I wouldn't be so emotionally disturbed all the time. And it didn't work. It just didn't work. I was out of options. And when I told my sponsor about that, we figured out that, you know what? I had tried all that on my own, and by that meaning without God, and it didn't work. But I had never tried that with the power of God. I had never tried that with the steps, because OA wasn't for the limits. But that was then, and I didn't know that things had changed. So all these years, I thought I was on my own without the help of a program that alcoholics had, compulsive overeaters had, but there was nothing for me. Well, I am here to testify. I said, if I can do that again, but this time invoking the power of God, maybe it'll work. And it did. And I tried to do this on my own for 30 plus years. So I just want any newcomer on the line who thinks they're hopeless, that if there was ever a hopeless case, that was me. And I was hopeless without the steps. I was hopeless without the power.
And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Eileen B. Kelly S., please share with us.
Good morning, visionaries. It's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Oklahoma. Kathy, thanks for your service. Powerful paragraph, and really appreciated the first reader's share because this is such a big deal, and that set aside prayer for me too was huge. In fact, I said it for about 2 months every single day from the suggestion of a spiritual mentor, 12-step spiritual mentor that I listened to, and because, you know, I'd been around these rooms for so long, and I needed to get out of my own way. And one of the things that, you know, I had a, you know, closed mind towards religion and God and certain words. You know, I'm in the Bible Belt, and there's, you know, I judge people, and there's Christianity that's given it a bad, you know, people give it a bad name and blah, blah, blah. We all have the same story on that, right? And so one of the things I heard on the line, I heard somebody said it yesterday here, and then I've heard it, which I love, is, you know, I spent so many years trying to understand this God, wanting to figure out God. And first of all, you know, what I loved someone shared was, you know, if I could understand and figure out, then that God probably wasn't going to be big enough to solve all these problems I have, right? But then what I realized, ironically, was I had to figure out God. I had to understand God. Well, you know what? I never had to figure out or understand my disease. It didn't matter to me that it didn't make sense. I did it anyway. So I can't understand God, so I can't turn to God. What? I don't understand bulimia. I'm binging, purging, you know, I'm doing all this. That doesn't make sense. That didn't stop me. I couldn't understand any of it, but it didn't stop me. I did it anyway. And so I realized I had to kind of do the same thing with God. And one of the things that this spiritual mentor said to me, so hear what I hear, you know, like in my closed mind with religion. I'm just going to put this out there. So Christians, so for instance, their whole thing is, let's do all these things because I got to earn my ride into heaven. Not because it's the right thing to do, because what if I die and there, you know, you hear that. So what if you, at the end of your life, you die and you find out there's a heaven and you just do all the right things, okay? Well, that was kind of the thing I grew up with. So what he said was kind of the opposite for me, which I love. I'm going to wrap up with this. So what if I live my life based on the belief that there might be a higher power of God? I live with these 12 steps, which are spiritual principles, right? So what if at the end of my life, I find out there's not a God, right? So what? I've had an abstinent, spiritually principle-filled life of happiness, serenity, life with neutrality, getting along with people. I've lived a spiritual, principled life. Today, I respect and love, honor myself, which I've never, ever had, based on the principles and the steps of this program. So it's like I just finally had to set aside those, you know, things, quit trying to figure out this God, just work it. Those old sayings, act as if. I had to act as if today I choose to believe there's a higher power. I can't figure it out. I can't figure out this disease. But today, willing, grateful, I'm taking action and living by the 12 steps and with you guys' help. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kelly S. John K., please share with us.
Good morning. This is John Kieran, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, I always say that the thing I think I love most about this chapter is the title. You know, We Agnostic. Because there's those other titles that are to employers and to the wives. But because it says this, it's saying, hey, we were right where you were when we walked in as well, and things changed for us. And that was certainly the case with me. I was vehemently anti any kind of religion or spirituality, and I thought AA, you know, my first program was this group of religious nuts. And I had a guy who changed it for me in an instant, and he said, look, nobody is ever going to, you stay here till you're 120, and nobody's ever going to tell you you have to believe in anything. Nobody's ever going to tell you what to believe. We ask one thing, and that's that you just try and keep an open mind. Try to just keep an open mind and see if something develops. That's all they ask. And because he said it that way, it made all the difference. You know, the pressure was off. I could come to an understanding at my own time. And I tell people, especially newcomers and people who are really having trouble with, I call it the G word, you know, like it says in the AA 12 and 12, the hoop is, you have to jump through is bigger than you think. It's, and I tell people, look, I have been in program for a long time, and I know people, and I'm friends with people who are Catholic priests, Protestant ministers, rabbis, cantors, nuns. If this was simply a matter of a conscious contact with a higher power alone, those people wouldn't have needed to be here. you know. But I believe that the 12 steps were God's gift to the 20th century. I think it was a revolutionary thing that changed everything. And I happen to believe it was the robo that my higher power gave to help the world. Now, I tell sponsees, if you don't want to believe that, that's fine. Cut that thread. Just believe in the rowboat. Believe in this process. And it doesn't take that much faith because you can look around and see examples everywhere of the working of people who could not make this work all of their lives and with all of their intelligence. But thanks to something that was given, a long time ago, now it works. And that's the key, is that, like it says here, the word prejudice is so perfect. I don't think I'm prejudiced in things, but boy, was I prejudiced when it came to religion, and to realize that the God that I had in my head was something that was given to me. It was a hand-me-down God that came from my mother, who got it from her mother, who got it God knows how far back. And I had to develop a conscious contact with a higher power that could help me with my problem, as it says in this, the page before. And to me, it came down to finding it a little at a time. Like it says in spiritual experience, mine was of the educational variety. I could just keep watching, hearing stories, hearing, quote, coincidences, quote, unquote, and realize there's something here. I don't understand it. And that was the other thing, and I'll wrap with this. I had to have it all explained to me. How can there be a God if there's a Holocaust? How can there be this and this? And I look back now and realize just how arrogant that is. And, not only was I always asking God for a list of things, I treated God like Santa Claus, but I also wanted God to explain him or her or itself to me. And I realized that's not the way it works. And to me, the most important word in the 12 steps is the word only in the 11th step. All that I have to do today is pray only for understand God's will for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, John K. Reggie O., please share with us.
Thank you, Janice. Thanks so much for being of service today. This is Reggie O., and I am gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. I didn't like this chapter for the longest time. It was boring and dull to me, and just, it's amazing how it comes alive, reading it in the context of how we read and talk and share here in Vision. The first thing that I think of came to believe in a power greater than myself that will restore me to sanity. I have to somehow get that I'm not the power, that I'm not the ultimate power. And that's where, that's the power of step one, and fully taking step one, admitted that I am powerless over compulsive eating and that my life has become unmanageable. No matter how much I've known, no matter how great my insight, no matter what I've done, I am powerless over compulsive eating. And I'm done for, I'm done for if there's not a power greater than myself which will restore me to sanity, because the way that I ate and did other areas of my life was insane. So, to come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, today is the most amazing gift, because I have found that power and it grows every day. And you know that later on in this chapter, it says God is either everything or God is nothing. So that God, if it's everything or nothing, I get to bring my greatest questions, and I get to bring my compulsive eating problem to it, or I get to bring what's going to happen in the next moment. We learn about that. I get to practice giving everything to God. I love that temperament is connected with agnostic here, because I thought I always believed in God. I just wanted to not have anything to do with the God I had come to believe in. I learned here not that long ago that I have an agnostic temperament. When someone says, so where in your everyday life are you agnostic? Where are you not trusting or believing in God? And I thought, I really get it. I can say that I have experienced everything in the previous paragraph, both the feeling of awe and wonder, looking at a starlit night, or the opposite of that, that's steeped in there. But a power greater than myself, the word God is used in this book for that power greater than myself, but also for many other words and phrases, and I'm grateful for that. I couldn't bear to hear the word God when I came in. I use that now. It's comfortable for me now, as well as many other things. And you all help me stay connected and remember, you know, that this power exists in my life every day and every moment. It's somehow the power that's in this group is, well, it is the higher power. You know, it is God. God is everything. But I sometimes often need to be here and have you remind me. And so I'm just incredibly grateful for reading this chapter and for the work that we do here in this, finding that higher power, which will restore me to sanity in every area of my life, starting with the food, because that's why I came. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Reggie O. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado, and I'll probably have to make this pretty short. It's going to get loud where I am in just a minute. But I did want to share that miracle for me in this paragraph is that I can get results, that God, the higher power, whatever, I commenced, I began to get results, even though it's impossible to fully define or comprehend the power, which is God. And before, I always thought I had to get results through the ways I drove myself, fear, resentment, guilt. I would work myself up to quit the food or to do something. And I would, and the results were not what I would want them to be. And so here it says, if I just will lay aside my preconceived ideas and just try a willingness that I don't have to get this. As I watch people go through this, a lot of times the question comes up, I just don't get God. And that happens when life happens and when hard things happen and bad things happen. And all of a sudden, I don't get where there could be anything greater than myself when my world is in rock. And so this is beautiful that this is a time when we make haste to reassure you, every person listening today, that there is a way for you. And this is bigger than you. Thank you, Atef.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thanks for moderating this morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. And, you know, if there was such thing as a hard moderate or real agnostic, I came in as the real deal. I was definitely an agnostic. And this part that we're reading, we found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. This is about finding a God who can do for us what we can't do for ourselves, a God who will help us solve our problems, and not only our eating problem, but our living problems. And it means we have to surrender. That's what I had to do. You know, do we know we're beat, or are we going to continue beating our head up against the wall, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? And, you know, we really want to keep moving in this process. It's like, don't get stuck in the debating society or stall out on the road to recovery. You know, I wanted to think that I was above this power, but as page 55 states, actually we are fooling ourselves, for deep down inside, deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And I personally found that to be true. And I didn't have to become one who preaches about God to achieve that. And when the book capitalizes the words power, supreme being, great reality, God of reason, spirit of the universe, creative intelligence, they're talking about God. And, you know, it's a God of our understanding. Religious scholars can't agree on one definition of God. So try not to get stuck on that. I kind of had to like just realize this, you know, the book doesn't speak of alcohol anymore. It talks about how to get your power with God. And God is what we define God to be. You know, we admitted we're powerless. Now we need to find a power. And these pages do show us how to have a spiritual experience, which will solve our problem. So a God of our understanding, a God personal to us, our own conception of God. And it doesn't have to be the patriarch with the robe up in the clouds, wearing a crown, kind of looking down disapprovingly. That's what I always used to see it as. You know, but find you know, that's not my definition of God, but just find what works for you, because God will solve our problems. And our higher power is our own. It's going to be revealed to us as we work through the steps. You know, the power won't only relieve you from the Kit Kat bars and the Ben and Jerry ice cream, but it's going to help us solve, it's going to help us stop living by our own self-sufficient ways so we can live. So have a willingness to believe in a power greater than you. You will get results and a life beyond your wildest dreams. Not perfect, and certainly many challenges, but sprinkled with a lot of moments of happy, joyous, and free. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, I'd like to take up to five more names. Who would like to share?
Jackie H.
Jackie H.
Tiffany P.
Tiffany P.
Kaylee R.
Kaylee R. Anyone else?
Devorah S.
Devorah S. Okay. Anyone else? All right, we'll stop there and let's see how it goes. Jackie H., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. You know, the prejudices that I walked into this program with were huge. The God of my understanding, I didn't think I was agnostic. I didn't even realize that agnostic to me now means that I'm doing things on my own without a power greater than myself. But I thought, you know, I knew there was a God, but the God of my understanding had really, the God of my childhood, the God of my 18 years as a Baptist preacher's wife, that God had not done anything for me. And can you hear the selfishness in that statement by itself? God had not done anything for me, because that's what I expected. God was supposed to make my life easy, make my life work. And there were a lot of wounds also from the religious community as well. And so when I walked into the rooms and I saw God all over the walls, I was really ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I figured that I could do this some other way. And that was 11 years ago. And then a year ago, I came into OA. And, you know, today, I appreciate so much all the shares. And the share about defining God, I wanted to define. I felt like I had to define some kind of a God. And somebody even gave me the idea of, you know, put an ad in the paper for what you want God to be and just write down what you'd want God to be. That didn't work for me, because that still felt like I was trying to control and manage, and I wanted some kind of a sugar daddy or something, right? So I, as I have, the steps, you know, these steps are the most beautiful, simplistic things that will take us to a change of mind and a change of heart. And that's what I needed. I needed a change. I needed a spiritual experience. And I remember talking to my sponsor, and he would say to me, just trust the process. Just trust the process. I don't even have to trust God, although I had a better understanding when I came in OA. And today I have, oh my goodness, I have no idea what God, I can't define, and I don't even want to. All I know is that it is not me. It is not me. And today my life works. My life functions in a way that it has never functioned before. And I have my toolkit. This is in the big book. These 12 steps are the most beautiful way to unfold into a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening, a design for living. And honestly, if you look at all the different, I don't have the prejudice that I did towards religious people. They have some wisdom that I blocked out of my life because I was so angry with God. And so I let them be what they are. They can, if they feel like they have to have, that they have to do certain things to get to heaven or whatever, so be it. Let them, if they're happy, let them be happy. Today, I get to use these 12 steps of recovery. And I do every single day. And thank you, I'll pass. One thing about it is all through the time when I didn't know, that I didn't believe that there was a God, now I can see that I was wrapped in God's love the entire time that I was, quote, agnostic. Not for a minute did that love of God ever leave me. I walked away, I shut my mind out, and today I do get to say the set-aside prayer, and I get to ask for an open heart and an open mind every morning to walk this day with gentleness, with love, and with courage. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. Tiffany P., please share with us.
Hi, this is Tiffany P., recovered in San Antonio, Texas. And just thank you for the moderator and for everyone who has shared so far. I love this paragraph, the lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe. And what's not said in this paragraph is that it's our prejudices that will ultimately kill us. Because if I don't lay those aside, then I'm not going to be willing to do the rest of the work that's required to get the freedom from this disease. And for me, as a compulsive overeater, I will die in this disease, comforted and blanketed by my prejudices. And when I came back to this program the second time around, I was agnostic. I was angry with God, not atheist because I was angry at God, so I must have believed in him, but I felt like he had abandoned me, and that was a prejudice that was getting in the way of me trying to take the third step and turn my life and my will over. And I had a powerful spiritual experience around that, and I got to see that God had never abandoned me, that, much like the previous speaker shared, I had turned away from God, but he had always been there for me. And just even knowing that even when I wasn't focused on God, he was still there and providing for me and caring for me, it allowed me to lay aside that anger and that resistance. And I began to wonder, well, if God could do that even when I wasn't aware of his presence, what could he do if I gain a conscious contact with him? And sure enough, that freed me up to do the steps, and I began to commence to get results. And for me, the ultimate result is freedom from my prejudices, freedom from my resentments and all the fears and the self that I was so, so utterly consumed with, freedom from the bondage of food, of course. I still, a couple years into recovery, the power that is God is still at times incomprehensible to me. Sometimes I'm in awe just watching of how my sponsees are responding. I have a sponsee who is, doing the work, and she's getting the freedom of the promises from the fifth step and so on. And it's I'm in awe just watching it, even, though I've had my own experiences with it. And I've realized that I will never be able to fully define this power, which is God. And that's a good thing, because I don't know what life has in store for me, but I do know that this power, this God, is a constant, and no problem, no issue is too big for God. My food problem was always too big for me. Life was always too big for me, but it's not too big for God. And as long as I keep doing this work and laying aside my prejudices and being of service and, following these 12 steps, I get to experience the freedom of resting in my higher power. And so I'll just end there, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Tiffany P. Kaylee R., please share with us.
Hey, everyone. This is Kaylee R. from Colorado. I really want to, oh, thank you, Team Wednesday, for making this meeting happen. I really want to speak to the newcomers and the people who are still struggling with the term God and higher power and believing in this. I love that somebody who spoke before me really honed in on the chapter's name, which is We Agnostics, not for you out there who are agnostic. It's We Agnostics, as in all of us. And I just want you to know that those recovered people here who say that, you know, we believe in a higher power, we believe in God, most of us didn't start out that way. Most of us started out very, very skeptical or agnostic or atheist, and we didn't want to believe in anything greater than ourselves. We wanted to believe in us, and that's what was killing us. We were believing we were our own higher powers. And so I really encourage all of the newcomers and all of those struggling out there to believe in a higher power, believe in something greater than them, to reach out to somebody who identifies as recovered and ask them, you know, what was your experience like with finding a higher power? How did you feel before you came into program? And how do you feel now? Just to give you hope, because that's what gave me hope when I didn't believe in anything greater than myself. I heard all these people who believed what I believed and now believed in something greater than themselves. And I'm going to leave it there and leave time on the clock. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much for letting me share today.
Thank you, Kaylee R. And Devorah S. You'll be our last share today. Thank you, Devorah.
Hi, and thank you, Kathy, and everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. Great shares. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And so we of agnostic temperament have these thoughts and experiences. And I love that because, like what we're all saying, it's we agnostics. We're all in on this thing. And, you know, honestly, I thought I had a higher power. I knew I had a higher power when I came into this program. I believed it. I went to religious school my whole life. I knew that there was a God. But what was I doing to lean into that God? What was I doing? Was I practicing a connection with my higher power each day? Was I trusting and relying on him? No, I honestly say I wasn't. I was trusting and relying on my own will, and I was trusting and relying on other people. You know, a people, you know, putting my faith and trust in others around me. Because I thought that they had what I wanted and they can give me what I need. And so it's coming into this program and doing these steps that I'm developing a relationship with God. And this is something that I need to work on every single day. It's not just I go through this step one time and I've got it. But every day I wake up in the morning, I have to renew that. I have to get in line with God's will for me again, then and every day and throughout the day, because I still have that piece of agnostic temperament in me. It doesn't go away. We don't change from a cucumber back into a pickle into a cucumber. It just doesn't go backwards. We got to keep working it, you know. And so I'm really, really grateful to know that my higher power is there doing for me what I can't do for myself. And I just got blanked. And I'm going to pass. And thank you all so much.
Thank you, Devorah S. We have time for about a minute and a half share. Would anybody like to share?
Barbara G.
Oh, go ahead.
Can you hear me? For us?
Sorry, one sec. There's an echo there. Somebody S, who was that?
Barbara G.
Oh, Barbara G. You're the first person I heard. Go ahead, Barbara. You have a minute and a half.
Yes, thank you. Hi, my name is Barbara, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater from Italy. And this paragraph that we just shared today is a direction and encourages me a lot. I was getting frustrated lately because I get up every morning and I reestablish my contact with God daily. And then as the day goes by, I have this tendency of a lacking trust. And this paragraph is very encouraging because it shows me that this is just my nature. I shouldn't be surprised of finding myself having this tendency of wanting to have back control. And I see that what works best for me is when I just ask things, trusting that God is hearing me and that He knows when and how to give me what I need. And so it was very encouraging today to hear your shares and with this opus. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara G. And I'm sorry to the other person who we did not have time for. I hope you will make an outreach call after the meeting. We're going to now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kathleen O., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.